But then I remember back 2 years ago, Lisa Hughes asked me if I would give a testimony of how the Lord has been growing me in struggling with anger. And I said, you know, Lisa, of all the sins I have, I just really don't struggle with anger. And ever since then, the Lord has been showing me how much anger I have in my heart. So I thought, I dare not say no, because who knows what would happen. So anyway, let's open up in a word of prayer. Father God, I love that you are kind and patient and loving to us, Lord, that we are just a wretched group of sinners, Lord. But by your grace and your mercy, you saw fit to save us and to call us to be your children. Father, I pray that the words that are spoken today, Father, that they would not be my words. I pray that you would speak through me in a mighty way, Lord. And Father, that we would be changed just by one aspect, Lord, of this lesson. We commit this time to you. Amen. Preparing this lesson was really, really hard for me. Like I said, impatience is one of my beloved sins. We think of something that's beloved to us, it's precious, and we take care of it. And impatience is probably, with anger, are my two beloved sins, where I take care of them, and I nurture them, and I feed them every day of my life. So I come to you feeling very much like a hypocrite, coming to teach you guys on this lesson, and maybe that's what the Lord wants. This is a huge struggle for me. So as I've been attempting to prepare this lesson, I have not known where to go because, like, Lord, what can I say? Because I feel like I have this huge log that, you know, is knocking each one of you out while I'm talking. But he showed me some areas in my life where I have grown, opportunities where he gives me opportunities to practice patience. And so we'll see what the Lord does today. So, you know, I get upset. Often I struggle with impatience. Often I have five beloved children who try my patience every single day of my life. You know, I spend a lot of time at hospitals with one of my kids. And if any of you have ever been to Children's Hospital of Los Angeles, you know that they work on a whole different time schedule than any other possible company in the entire world. Everything is about 3 hours later than whatever you're told to be. So patience is something the Lord definitely is working on in me greatly. I hate this sin in my life. I don't know if you guys struggle in this as much as I do, but I hate it. And I feel like every day I'm going before the Lord. And if I cry, I might need tissue at some point. I feel like every single day I am going before the Lord just begging for help in this area. You know, as much as I hate it, though, there are good things about this struggle. The good things is that it drives me to the cross. It shows me my inadequacies. It makes me preach the gospel to myself. It shows me that on my own, I can do nothing. I am just a miserable, pathetic little worm of a thing that can do nothing on my own. And I need Christ. Because without him, I can't do anything. I would be impatient to everybody at every moment of every single day without Christ. So, you know, we all know Philippians 1:6, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it till the day of Christ. And that is what I hold on to. And ladies, that's what I would encourage you to hold on to, whether this is your beloved sin or if there's another one. Christ is at work in your life. If you are saved, Christ is at work in your life. And that is a huge, huge encouragement. Now, let me give you a little story about a man here in beautiful Los Angeles who he was arrested for disarming his firearm. And what he had done, I guess early in the day, his sweet little precious daughter decided to flush the hairbrush down the toilet. And all day long, he was working to try to get this hairbrush out of the toilet to no avail. So in order to help his situation, I guess, he decided to take his pistol and shoot the toilet up. And yeah, so it sounds pretty crazy, but ladies, do we do that in our hearts? Do we shoot off our mouth at our kids? Do we shoot off nasty thoughts about our husband when he doesn't do something like the way that we wanted him to? You know, we're not that much different than the guy who shot the toilet, to be totally honest. We may not have a gun, but we get angry with our kids when they don't sleep through the night. We get upset with our husband when he doesn't come home when he said he was going to, and we worked really hard to make a really nice meal, and now it's like beef jerky. We're not that much different. Now, the Lord gives us opportunities. We're all moms in here. The Lord has given you lots of opportunities to practice patience between your husband and your kiddos. Do you look at those opportunities as gifts from the Lord, or do you resent them? Because they're coming. The opportunities to practice patience are coming. So how are you going to embrace them? David Jeremiah gave this illustration once. I think this is great. We can all relate to it. There was a New England preacher named Phillips Brooks, and says he was known for his calmness and poise. And it said, his intimate friends, however, knew he suffered from great moments of frustration and irritability. And one day his friends saw him pacing back and forth. They said he was like a caged lion. And they said, Dr. Brooks, what's wrong? What is the trouble? And he said, the trouble is that I am in a hurry, but God isn't. I'm there. Are you guys there often? You know, we're okay to trust in the Lord if it's on our time schedule, but when it's not, you know, you didn't get pregnant on the first month, or the second, or the eighth, or the 22nd. Are you trusting in the Lord then? How about when your husband isn't leading the devotions like you've asked and have been praying for, and it's happening day after day after day? Are you willing to wait on the Lord in that? You know, we're not alone. There are so many great heroes of the Bible that their patience was tried. You know, first person I thought of, Moses. So here Moses was brought up, and here Moses, we're giving you these, you know, 2 million plus unruly people, and lead them. And guess what? You're not even going to lead them for, you know, the short period of time like we thought, but buddy, you got them for a long old time. Do you think that was easy on him? You know, I've got 5 kids, and it's trying with 5 kids. It tests my patience. Think about what Moses endured with all the grumbling and the complaining. And think of all the things that they saw, but yet they still were impatient. They were impatient with the Lord. They were impatient with Moses. I was thinking of when Moses was up and he was fellowshipping with the Lord. And what did the Israelites do while he was up there? Where's Moses? He's taking so long. They were growing impatient, right? And what did they do? They built this calf. Right? How did the Lord respond to that? Not too kindly. He was not too happy. So he had to deal with people that were impatient. How about Job? Any of us who have gone through trials, Job is someone we really look up to in Scripture. You know, the Lord allowed a lot of really horrible things in his life, and I'm sure his patience was tested greatly. And he lost everything, from homes to cattle to his children. And he was mocked openly by his wife, by his friends. But you know, Job never got angry with God. He never showed impatience. And he said in Job 1:21, naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord take away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Do we say that when we're struggling with patience? And probably my very favorite character from the Bible. It sounds like I'm saying like a fiction story. Person from the Bible, Paul. I love Paul. I can relate to Paul in a lot of ways. Just how the Lord just has so kindly changed my life dramatically. I mean, we all were there. We were all God haters. But then when Christ came to us, we became completely new, just like Paul. But he had a some kind of physical situation. He had a thorn in his flesh. And now he could have seen that as a great opportunity to grumble, to complain, to be impatient with the Lord. But instead, he says this in 2 Corinthians, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there is given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. He knew that what was going on in his life was because that's what the Lord wanted. And he was okay with that. It's not that he was okay with that. He gladly accepted that. He took that in and considered it joy. He also patiently waited on the Lord. Again in 2 Corinthians, for this momentary light affliction. Ladies, he did not have momentary light afflictions. For this momentary light affliction is producing in, for us an eternal weight of glory that is far beyond all comparison. So we have these great examples from God's Word who had all kinds of things that should test their patience, that in spite of those, trusted in the Lord. I want to have like a working definition of patience. We kind of did this last week in our study, but I wanted to flesh this out a little bit more. In Greek, the word patience means makrothumia, which means long-tempered. It's made up of two words, makros, it means far away, and thumos, which means anger, heat, or rage. So patience is to be far away from anger, heat, and rage. Now, I know we here in America, sinners that we are, tend to think, anger, rage, we think of murderers, we think of Adolf Hitler, you know, we think of all the bad guys who do the really bad things. But ladies, our ugly thoughts and our harsh words, our short fuse that goes off when our kiddos don't come when they're called, that's a heart of anger. It's a heart of rage in our heart. Makrothumia is both, it's an active word and it's a passive word at the same time. It's active in that we need to actively choose, no matter what, to follow the Lord, to behave like Him. So we have to actively pursue patience. However, it's passive in that, in the way that when things come into us, how do we respond? Do we respond with aggression or do we respond passively? To respond as Christ responded. We don't just, you know, grit our teeth and, okay, I'm just going to get through this situation and this is really hard and I don't like it. Or do we see it as an opportunity that the Lord has brought into our life to allow us to grow, to become more like Him? Patience shows self-restraint. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So I know some of us think, oh, I can't do this. I don't have self-control. I really struggle in that area. I know I've caught myself saying, you know, I just don't have self-control over X, Y, or Z. Well, no, ladies, if we're saved, we have the fruit of the Spirit. And what is one of the fruits of the Spirit? It's patience. It's there. The Holy Spirit is given to us. So what are some of the qualities of being patient? Well, first, patience is the ability to wait. And I think this is one of the hardest parts of it all. This is something I struggle with. My illustration of Dr. Brooks earlier, he struggled with it. We all got a good chuckle because I think it hit home. We are people who do not like to wait. We live in a world of instant gratification. You know, you want to watch a movie, you can order it on your little, DVR right away. You want a Starbucks? Goodness, there's one in every single corner. We live in a world of self-gratification, instant gratification. Now, the Lord has been very kind to me that He has given me lots of opportunities to wait. I was thinking of, I have three main areas in my life where I see the Lord has really tried to grow me in this area. The first would be my infertility. Many of you don't know, some of you do, that I have five children. Of those five, four are adopted. My oldest, Shanna, who's 13, she was a product of in vitro. My husband and I tried for years to get pregnant. All of my girlfriends around me were all getting pregnant, and nothing was happening for me. So after trying, you know, the Lord graciously allowed us to get pregnant through use of in vitro, but that wasn't the end of it for us. And we had six failed cycles after that. We tried and we tried and we tried again. I had to learn to be patient and to wait on the Lord's timing in this. It was really hard. Any of you who are struggling to get pregnant, I know, I've been there. I'd be happy to talk to you. It was really hard, but when I look back now, I can see why the Lord made it really hard for me. I see the outcome now that I'm 13, 15 years out, why the Lord allowed that to happen. You know, my daughter, Shanna, she's 13. She's a sweet pea. She's had 39 surgeries. Her 40th is in 2 weeks. We spent a lot of time at the hospital, a lot of time. I think Her first year of life of 365 days, it was something like 215 days we were at the hospital. So it's kind of our second home. We kind of pathetically joke that it is, but it kind of is. I think we paid for the new hospital down there. Yeah, seriously. But, you know, that is an opportunity that the Lord has given me to be patient. And it does not come easily for me because I'm sitting there with a kid who is sick, who needs help, who needs a surgery, who I'm watching her grieve and anguish, being in pain, both physically and emotionally. But we have to wait. You know, right now she needs a surgery on her hips. She has to have her hips completely reconstructed. And the surgery is scheduled for 2 weeks, and we have been praying and praying and praying that the Lord would make a way for her to get in sooner. Because, one, she's in pain. And that's miserable. When you have a kid and they have a scraped knee, you know how hard that is. But, you know, scraped knee, nothing in comparison. But it's more the emotional anguish on my kiddo. You know, she cries every day because of the weight of knowing that it's coming. She has the huge burden of it coming. And also just her wanting to be out of the pain, wanting to move on. But, you know, you guys, I've called every single week and there's been no cancellation. You know, I was hoping there'd be a cancellation today. There was no cancellation today. It's an opportunity to practice patience. You know, I don't know why he's doing it. I don't get it. But I know he's faithful. I'm confident of that. You know, the thing is, we're adoptive parents. Many of you know that we do foster care. We've had 13 different kiddos in our home over the last 6 years. Three of those stuck and stayed. One was a private adoption. There's a ton of patience that comes into play when you're dealing with social workers and courts and birth parents and all the fun stuff that comes along with all of that. So it's another opportunity that the Lord has given us to practice patience. And, you know, ladies, I am such a go-getter where I see the problem and I want to get it fixed. I'm a fixer. I know that's normally a guy kind of a thing, but I'm a fixer. This is what we need to do. Let's get it done. And the Lord, over the years, especially since Jeff and I have been married, has just really pulled me back. No, Maureen, you're not the one running the show. You need to wait. But it's hard. It's hard. Isaiah 40. Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Psalm 33:20-22. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in him because we trust his holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hoped in you. James 5:11. We count those who waited and endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassionate and merciful. And Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. So ladies, these are the things that we are promised if we wait. We are promised strength. We will not grow tired or weary. How many of you are tired and weary? I mean, hello, any of us that have kids, we are tired and weary. He is our help. He is our shield. He gives us his loving kindness. We're considered blessed. If we wait, we're considered blessed. And if we wait, the Lord's goodness will be on us. Are those good reasons to wait? I think so. Patience is also the ability to resign our position. By saying this, this does not mean that your husband walks in the door and you say, I'm done. I'm no longer running the house. The kitchen is open. I am gone. It's not that kind of resigning, ladies. It's resigning to the will of the Lord. It's resigning to the will of the Lord. Putting who you are off and putting Christ on. It's fully submitting to a sovereignty. My very favorite characteristic of the Lord is his sovereignty. I think that is what has held me through all of the trials that have gone on in my life, is his sovereignty. I want to give you guys a working definition. Sovereignty is that all things are under God's rule and control, and nothing happens without his direction or his permission. God works not just some things, but all things. according to the counsel of his own will. Doesn't mean that, you know, this one little area in my life where my kids are doing this one thing that's, you know, it's trying my patience, God's not over that. Guess what? He is. He is. He's over when you get pregnant. He's over when your husband gets the new job. He's over when you find the house that you've been looking for. He's over all of that. Lamentations 3:27-28 says, who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it? Obvious answer, no one. No one can have anything happen if the Lord has not decreed it. That should be hope for you ladies. That should give you hope. You're not in charge. You guys, if you were in charge, oh dearie, it would be bad. You know, it's, I know I look at, I'm totally jumping ahead here, but I don't know why the Lord does what he does. But I know it's good, and I know it's good for me. You know, there are times where I hate traffic. We live in Los Angeles. I hate traffic. Not a good place to live if you hate traffic. But, you know, he brings that into our lives. Do we know why he brings it into our lives? No. Maybe there would be a huge accident that we would have been involved in if we had left 10 minutes earlier and we missed the traffic. Maybe we're trying to buy a house, and we're trying and we're trying and trying, and no house is being, none of our offers are being accepted. Well, maybe you don't know this, but the Lord is going to move you out of state. Maybe there's this fantastic job, and the Lord's going to move you there. We think we know what's best. Isn't that kind of egotistical? But we do. We think we know what's best. But the Lord has other plans, and ladies, I can tell you from experience, the Lord's plans are so much better than whatever you have in your mind. You know, I look back at all of my infertility. I never had a heart for adoption, which is really comical when 4 of my 5 kids are adopted. I never, and my husband never had. I know there's people out there who, like, always wanted to do that, and you guys are, like, an enigma to me because that was never something I ever wanted to do. But this is, the Lord brought us there, and I look back, and I see my kiddos, and the Lord orchestrated and put my family together in such an amazing way, in a way that I never would have imagined. You know, I look at each one of them, and I love their story. They each have an incredibly unique story as to how they came to us, from my own birth child to all the other kids, and how the Lord saved those children, brought them into our home. My plan was that I was going to pop out kids every 2 years. We would have, you know, about 4 kids, and none of them would be sick, of course, and none of them would have any issues, and I could get pregnant really easily. But, you know, that's not what the Lord did, and I'm thankful. In the midst of it, it hurt. In the midst of my infertility, it hurt. It was really hard. I remember getting really angry. I've confessed this to her and apologized since. I was really angry with Julie Molinari. I forget which child she got pregnant with, but I was super angry with her. I think I had already had 2 kids. I think we had Lacey by then. And she's one of my dearest friends. I was so angry with her. I remember going to bed and talking to my husband, just, I can't believe she's pregnant again. And, you know, looking back, it's like, oh, Lord, thank you for being so kind to me and not striking me dead right then. Because, you know, had my way gone, I wouldn't have had my Lacey. I wouldn't have had my Connor and my Mia and my Gemma. And I could never imagine my life without those monkeys. The Lord gives us hiccups in our lives, doesn't he, as we wait? Do you welcome them? Or do you want to run away? I had a hiccup last night. My daughter Lacey fell and smacked her, wasn't wearing her helmet, smacked her head on the side of the house. And we spent about 4 to 5 hours in the children's hospital ER last night, and she has a concussion. So, you know, I was telling the ladies this morning that I feel so unprepared this morning. Part of it's because I had no time to review any of my notes because I was in the ER with my child. That was not in my plan at all, but it was in the Lord's plan. It was in the Lord's plan. Romans 11:34, who has known the mind of the Lord or offered or has been his counselor? Do you guys really want to know what the Lord's mind is? Isn't that kind of scary? You know, I look back at my life with Shanna, and I think if the Lord had told me on the day she was born that by the time she was 13, she would have had 39 surgeries, I think I would have shriveled up and died, to be totally honest. But the Lord knew that, and he was patient with me, and he gave me just a little bit every day. You know, people say, how did you get through this? How did you? I don't know. It's the Lord being patient with me, knowing what I can endure and giving me just that. So Looking back, all these opportunities I had, you guys, the infertility, the stuff with Shanna, foster care, I didn't necessarily see them as great things at the time. But looking back, I can see that they've been opportunities for me to grow my patience, for me to trust him, for me to know that he is kind and loving. It's worth waiting on him. Because what you have planned, ladies, it pales in comparison to what he has in store for you. Patience is the ability to endure. To endure means to suffer patiently. It's hard to do that. Enduring is tough. And enduring in a way that honors the Lord is even tougher. We can often go through our stuff, kicking our feet and grumbling and complaining and dragging our heels. But it's hard to endure patiently. And I think of Paul. In 2 Corinthians 11, it goes through this like laundry list of everything. I'm sure it wasn't even everything. A lot of the things he endured, from being shipwrecked to being beaten to being stoned to being without food to constantly being in danger. I mean, there's this huge list. If you read it, it's pretty crazy. I mean, the natural man would think, dude, give up. Just give up. You've been through this. You've been through that. I mean, this is crazy. But he didn't, obviously. And he tells us in 2 Corinthians, he said, therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecution, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Do you look at opportunities to endure as blessings or as curses? Kind of hard. Do we look at them as blessings or curses? People have come to us and we've been asked, what have we done wrong in our lives that have given us Shanna's life? That it's as if it's our fault or Shanna's fault that she's had to go through what she's had to go through that we have. And that's not it. It makes us reliant on Christ. If we have to endure and suffer with patience, it makes us reliant on Christ. Is there not a better thing, ladies? Is there not a better thing? When we go through these trials, when we go through times of impatience, ladies, we have an opportunity to represent Christ and represent him well. Are you doing that? Probably not always. But that's when God's grace enters in. And that is what we can cling on to when we're struggling to endure with patience. We can look to Christ, and we can look to his grace, and we can say, we can't do this on our own, Lord. We need you. And he is faithful, ladies. He is so faithful. When things don't go exactly as we want, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity in our own home with our kiddos to reveal Christ to them. In the hospital to reveal Christ to them. When our kids, when we're in a hurry and we want to run out the door really fast and our kids can't find their shoes because they didn't put them away and now they can't find them. So now we're going to be late for whatever we're going to be late to. We have an opportunity to practice patience, to suffer patiently, and show Christ. When your child just can't go to sleep without their favorite animal that they can't find, we have an opportunity to practice patience, to show Christ to our children. And when our husband says he has to work late and we're kind of fried, we have an opportunity to respond to him with grace and show him Christ. Isn't that what our call of being a believer is about? Is making Christ known and showing his mercy? This is one of the best ways we can do it, ladies. Our home gives us a perfect opportunity to do it. Now, I was thinking, what is, as moms, what is one of the biggest things we have to patiently endure? And I think for me, it's the salvation of my kids. That is the thing that I am praying for every single day, that the Lord would save my kids. I want to read you a story about a lady named Monica. You might recognize the name of her son. About 331 AD in North Africa, a baby girl was born who would become the mother of one of the most influential Christians of all times. Monica was born into a moderately wealthy family, An old Christian maidservant who had also cared for Monica's father as a baby had brought Monica up in the Christian faith. So she was a believer. Monica was given in marriage to Patricius, who was not a Christian. And for many years, she sought to win Patricius to the Lord. Following the advice of 1 Peter 3, Monica realized her conduct, more than her words, would be the means of Patricius' conversion. By her persevering in patience and meekness, Monica won her mother-in-law to Christ. And Patricius soon, too, became a Christian, though only toward the end of his life. Monica was often a great peacemaker between people who were at odds. Are you guys peacemakers? In healing discords or disputes, she never repeated the evil. She was not a gossip. She had no bitterness or hatred, which one side might express against the other. She also sought to help and minister to those who were teachers or pastors of the church. Though the wife of a non-Christian, her husband wasn't saved yet, Monica prayed that her family might eventually all come to Christ. She attempted to bring her children up in the ways of the Lord, and it pained her to see them stray away from the truth she had taught them. She had an unbelieving husband, and she was trying to raise her kids to love the Lord. Her most promising son, Augustine, was given an excellent education, and Monica hoped this might be a means of his more fully reaching God. Augustine, however, ignored his mother's warnings against youthful lust and pursued a life of self-gratification and immorality while continuing his education. He lived with a woman, not his wife, and fathered a child. Monica didn't have the words to convince her son of the truth of Christianity, but she determined to never stop praying that he would turn to God. When Augustine went to Italy to teach, Monica, by then a widow, followed him there. In Milan, she attended the church pastored by Ambrose, who rejoiced when Augustine was befriended by Ambrose, and he eventually became a Christian. Monica died at the age of 56, and in his confessions, Augustine spoke of his grief and weeping for the mother, now gone from my sight, who for years had wept over me, that I might live in your sight, Lord. She died a happy woman, for she had seen her prayers answered, and both her husband and her son became believers. It's a great story. She didn't give up. She had every reason to give up. I mean, you look at her life, and years and years and years, she was trying to live out the gospel to her husband, to her family, and it was going nowhere. But she patiently endured. And what did the Lord do? He blessed that patience. He saved her husband. He saved her mother-in-law. Saved her son. We need to patiently endure just like Monica did. Now the question is, why should we be patient? We should be patient because God is patient. That is the whole reason why, ladies. We shouldn't be patient because we deserve it, because our kids are told to honor us, because we're a good wife. We are to be patient because God is patient. 2 Peter 3, 8 through 9. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. The Lord is patient, ladies. You know, he didn't need to wait 2,000 years or whoever knows how much longer. He could have come back and just struck down everybody, but he is patiently waiting, giving the world time to repent. He doesn't have to do that. But he is. Because he's kind and merciful. Romans 6:24. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that it's the kindness of God that leads you to repentance? It's the Lord's patience and kindness that leads us to repentance, ladies. Think about it. He is holy. He is totally, perfectly, righteously just. And we sin against him every single day. Not only us, but every single person in this entire world sins against him every single day. Yet, the big but, he patiently endures. He patiently endures. You know, he could have wiped us out. And honestly, you think that probably would have been a lot easier for him if just once Adam and Eve fell, whammo, we're done, let's start anew. But he didn't. Why not? Why is he patiently enduring? Because he loves us. Because he wants his glory made known. He wants his mercy and how beautiful he is to be displayed to all. Philippians 1:6, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ. You know, God's at work in our hearts. Any of us that are saved, God is at work in our hearts. He is patiently working with us. When you think of a potter who's working with the clay, you know, God instantly could speak, and that could be a beautiful, gorgeous, you know, vase. But he's slowly working on us. Like I said, if the Lord had told me 13 years ago what I would have gone through over the last 13 years, I would have shriveled up and died. But the Lord has patiently been molding me, patiently been cutting away the junk, refining me. And that's what he's doing for you too, ladies. Think of the prodigal son. You know, that's an example of God's patience, right? I mean, here's someone who saw, who understood the Father's goodness, the Father's kindness. And what did he do? He ran away from it. But the Father patiently endured. He waited. He waited for his son to come back. And let's look at Jesus. He is patient. He is the Son of God. He didn't need to come. But he did. You think of everything he experienced here on earth. I mean, he was surrounded by people who were constantly testing him. You think of the Pharisees. His disciples, they would argue about which one of them was the best. Right? I mean, seriously. He would teach over and over and over again, and the disciples were just like thick-headed. They just, I don't get it. Do you ever have that with your kids where you're teaching them over and over again and you kind of get this blank look on their face? Well, imagine what Jesus endured with that. I mean, that was his life of just constantly speaking, kind of had that dazed and confused look, looking back at him. Over and over again, his miracles were forgotten. His teaching was forgotten. He patiently endured, though. He didn't lash out and yell at them and say, "You dummy, what are you thinking?" He didn't get angry at them when they forgot something. He would just patiently go over it again and again and again. Mark 18. This was after he had just been talking to the Pharisees, and they were on their way. They had left, and they were going on a boat, and someone forgot to bring the bread. I forget who it was. Mark 18, 17, 21. Jesus said to them, "Why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear?" I feel like I've said that to my kids. "And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces you picked up?" And they said to him, 12. "When I broke the 7 for 4,000, how many large baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up?" And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" They had seen all these great miracles of the Lord, and they forgot all about it. They were all worried because they didn't have any dinner that night. Someone forgot to get the bread. He's saying, "Listen, I did all of these things. You think I cannot take care of just getting us some food tonight? Remember what I did." So our Savior, who is holy and just and perfect, he's patient with us, ladies. Should we be patient with those people in our lives? Yeah. Yeah. Do we have an excuse? No. Anybody who's saved, who has the fruit of the Spirit, is without excuse. I'm without excuse. So, So now what? What's the practical part of this supposedly practical teaching? First thing you need to do, it's the not-so-secret secret weapon. You need to pray. You need to pray. Psalm 116:11. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications. He hears us. He hears us. Which is pretty amazing when you think of who we are and what we are, that he cares enough to hear us. Psalm 66:16-20. Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell of what he has done for my mouth. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. But if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly, God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away from my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me. The Lord hears our prayers. He wants us to pray to him. And that doesn't necessarily mean we are to have time set aside to pray. But throughout the day, when you're struggling, when one of your kiddos is spilling the milk for the third time that day, you know, shoot just a quick arrow up to the Lord. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I'm weak right now. I'm tempted to yell at my kids. I'm tempted to get angry over the situation. Lord, help me. He is faithful and just. He will hear those prayers, ladies. The next thing is you need to read God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. For all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Does that cover it all? I think it does. Christina Boldy years ago was telling me, we were talking over some sin I was struggling with, it was probably impatience, and she was encouraging me something she does, where she, when she is struggling with a certain sin, she will take 3x5 cards, and she'll write Bible verses on those. And she won't, like, just stick them on her fridge, because any of you who do that, you stick them on your fridge or above your sink, they probably just become a piece of furniture after a while and blend in, at least it does to me. She would keep them in her pocket, her front pocket, where so it would kind of like jab her throughout the day so she would feel it. So it was always in there. And so when she was tempted to be impatient, she would pull out that card with the Bible verse on there or even a ring, and she would just read over God's truth of what it means to be patient and why we should be patient. If you've never tried that, do it. It is really a huge help. God's word is what's going to change you, ladies. It's not going to be reading books or reading blogs, or talking to, a neighbor about how much you struggle in this or whatever. It's God's word that's going to change you. So get in it. If you're not, I know you're all busy. I know you're all tired. I know you're all fried. I get it. But this is your food. This is what is going to sustain you through this, ladies. You're going to drown without God's word. I know in my life, when I am not spending time in God's word, that is when I am so weak, and that is when my flesh is so strong. Make reading God's word part of your everyday life. And the last thing is accountability. Accountability. Proverbs 17:17. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. In Hebrews 10:23-25, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another in love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as the day is drawing near. Do you feel like the day is drawing near? I do. I mean, man, you look what's going on in the world right now, and you just think, oh, Jesus, come back. The day is drawing near, ladies. You need to have this accountability in your life right now because there are so many pressures on you that the world is feeding you. You need accountability. Find that sister in the Lord and go to her and be transparent. Ladies, be transparent. There is no way that someone can come alongside of you and exhort you and encourage you if you're not transparent. I struggle with patience. Hi, I'm Maureen, and I struggle with impatience. I struggle with impatience. I need encouragement in this area, and I guarantee you, ladies, I'm not the only one. Find that sweet sister in the Lord and ask her to hold you accountable, and that can be painful. I have a dear friend who I was on the phone with, And she heard me barking at my kids in a not so loving and patient manner. And I got an email from her later. And it just said, "Hey, Maureen, while we were talking, this is how you sounded to your kids, I'm sure. And I know that's not what's in your heart towards your kids, but this is how it manifested. I'm praying for you." And then she gave me a Bible verse. It cut so deeply, but she was so right. A faithful wound of a friend. She was being a faithful friend to me. And I know that she will do that. And that is such an encouragement. So if you do not have that person that is holding you accountable, if you're not in a discipleship situation, then find a girlfriend and be real. Be real, ladies. We live in a world where we're not real. You know, I read blogs, and I think Tina and I were talking about it a couple weeks ago. You know, these ladies who write these blogs, they write them on their best days. Let me just tell you. They don't write them on the days when their kids threw up on them and they spilled the food all over, and as they're taking out their meal from dinner, dropped on the floor, and, you know, how they screamed at their children while they're getting out of the car going to school, and, you know, and then said hi to the neighbor as they walked past. You know, be careful of what you're filling your mind with. Be careful. God's word is what you need. And a sweet sister who's going to hold you accountable. So in closing, ladies, I struggle greatly in this area. It has been incredibly humbling trying to put together a talk to encourage you guys on how to be patient. The secret weapon is the Lord. That's what you got. It's all you need. So when you're struggling with impatience, and you will, know that God's grace is sufficient, that he died for that sin, and that if you go to him and you confess it, he is faithful and he will forgive you. He loves you even in spite of that sin in your heart. And I ask that you just take time and prayerfully consider, go before the Lord. Lord, show me my heart. Show me where I'm weak in this area. Don't be like me, who stupidly thought I had no anger issues and then for the last 10 years have been struggling with it. Go before the Lord and say, Lord, show me. Ask somebody, hey, how do you think I do in this area? Whether it's impatience or something else. And see what they say. See what they say. Spend time in the Word and pray. Ladies, it's all you need. You're not going to find it anywhere else. All right, let's close in prayer. Lord, I thank you that you are patient with us. You don't need to be. But yet by your grace and your mercy, you are. And Lord, I thank you that as believers, you have given us the Holy Spirit. So Lord, we have no excuse for not being patient. You have given us all we need for life and godliness. So Lord Jesus, I pray for each one of these ladies here. Lord, whether it is impatience that they struggle with or another beloved sin, Father, that they would repent of it, that they would fall before you. Lord, that they would search your word, Father, that they would be changed ladies, Lord, that they would impact your kingdom in mighty ways too. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us even though we are broken vessels. In your name we pray, amen.